Well, we're going to start off today's program by sharing a lighthearted story, but it's going to turn deep pretty quickly, I think, because we have a tough topic to tackle today. And it's the result of an email, a really heart-wrenching email, prayer request that I got that really made me realize how hard the Christian life is, how difficult it is. I'm going to share that in just a moment. But before we get into the real difficult side of things, I think there's an important story. And actually, the reason I'm sharing this story with you is not just because it's funny and because it will make you chuckle, but because, in fact, I think there is an important parallel between this rather lighthearted story and the many sufferings and pains that you experience. So let me set this up. I was having a dinner with some friends just this week. They took me to a really, really fancy restaurant, way classier than Oblates of St. Joseph normally eat at. It was really nice. And it was down by a river, like an inlet, okay, from the ocean. And so the restaurant is down right on the water. And this couple was telling me that years back, they had rented a house right across from the restaurant, literally on the water. And that they could then just walk out in the backyard of that house, get inside of a canoe and kayak, and then go down into the water, right? So they had this great idea. They had little kids at the time. They had this great idea. They were going to go to this nice fancy restaurant, and instead of walking a mile and a half around this particular inlet, they were going to take the boat across, right? And they were going to shuttle their kids across because their little canoe wasn't big enough for everybody. So they're going out for a fancy dinner, dressed up to the nines, jump in their little canoe. The water, by the way, is so tranquil. The water is really calm, beautiful little area. And they get across just fine for the dinner, right? And they get off and they're enjoying this really sumptuous dinner, I'm sure, if it was anything like what we had the other night. And they're just enjoying themselves thoroughly, of course, and then it's time to go home. And they took some of the kids across, come back over, have to get the other kids, and the wife is, I'm not going to give their names. Did you notice I'm being kind of careful here? Because, well, you'll see. The wife is in the canoe, as I said, dressed very fancy. By the way, she made the point of telling me she had brand new shoes on, which I guess for some people that's really, really special. But I guess if I had brand new shoes on, I'd have to go back to Payless again to get them, you know. But I'm just saying, I guess some people's shoes are expensive when they have new ones. And as her husband is climbing off of the dock to get into the boat, he, instead of stepping into the boat, he steps onto the side of the canoe, immediately tips everybody in the canoe over. He falls into the water. All of this in plain view of the 200 people at this restaurant who are dining and enjoying the new entertainment that has just popped up before them, of people splashing in the water, yelling at each other, "Get me out of here!" and everything that goes along with that. Losing the new shoes to the bottom of the river, not Payless shoes, I'm quite sure. And they, as they're trying to get out of the water, somebody at the restaurant, a patron of the restaurant, somebody dining, says to them, "Someday you're gonna laugh about this." And that was not what they wanted to hear at that moment. I think they probably wanted to get home in shame, get away from everybody's view, and really, you know, just get cleaned up and all of this. So they get back into the boat. Luckily, no kids were injured in the course of all of this. I didn't think to mention that. You're imagining little kids flailing for their lives in the water. I didn't hear anything about that. I think everybody was fine. And there they were, years later, telling me about the story. And guess what they were doing? Laughing about it. It was funny. It was enjoyable. And there they were with this incredible memory that they could eat dinner at this great spot with a memory unlike anybody else, or I suspect most anybody else that has eaten there. Isn't it funny? Isn't it interesting how in the moment when we're going through trial and difficulty, it's we can't see the hope and the joy that comes after it. But years later, when we see everything in context, when we realize that even when bad things happen, even when difficult things happen, later on there is joy and there is resurrection. This is such an important concept for Christians. It's such a central theme that, in fact, a whole book of the Bible is associated, it recalls this particular matter. I'm thinking of the book of Job. And all of the New Testament will talk about suffering and pain and death and also new life that comes out of it. In fact, just pick any book in the Bible and you will see that every single one will treat to a certain degree or another suffering and pain and the meaning of it all and the joy that comes after that. And this is a very important when especially we're facing very serious suffering and pain. Hold on to this little story that I shared with you. Very, very simple, right? Because nobody got hurt. Nobody experienced any great loss except for maybe a little bit of embarrassment and a little bit of chill to the bone. I received a prayer request from a listener of St. Joseph's Workshop, a listener of Relevant Radio, that shared with me such a tragic, difficult story about how in their family, they lost a parent. The boys inside of the family remain, and they're young. They're altar servers, and they don't understand why dad had to die, and they don't understand why their prayers didn't work, especially when their dad was an amazing guy. By all of the accounts I've heard, here's a man who was faith-filled, who was true to his vocation. How is it even possible that God would allow somebody in that situation to go to his death early, and then for that family to have to experience such loss your whole life? Now, some of you listening have experienced this yourself, loss of a loved one, of a parent, of a caretaker very early on, and you know from your own personal experience how devastating and how terrible that can be. But isn't it interesting how those experiences, when seen in the light of the gospel, they pale in comparison to the joy that is to come. The problem is that in the moment, in the minutes and years and decades that pass after that, and that's what I mean when I say the moment, because let's face it, our lives are just a tiny blip on the screen when it comes to eternity. It's a tiny moment, this life that you and I have. I'm not saying it mitigates the pain. I'm not saying it takes away the difficult sorrow that we feel. But we need to put things into perspective as Christians. We need to realize, to see our lives in the light of the resurrection. Here's what I mean. I couldn't help but think of this particular incident that happened to that young couple on the water as they fell into the water. And in the moment, somebody says to them, "You're going to laugh at this one day." And that's the last thing they could think of. That's the last thing that they could have comprehend at that moment, that this was actually going to not be as big of a deal as it seemed at that moment. That in fact, that their lives were going to turn out pretty good. That their blessings were going to continue and to endure. And this is what happens when we see even pain and suffering right now. I'm not saying that someday we will laugh about it in humor. But someday, if we can endure, someday when we get to heaven, all of the, now hear me out here. I know this sounds crazy, but I am being so superlative here because it's true. Every single pain and suffering that you go through right now, every single difficulty, no matter how great, will pale in comparison to the joy and the beauty of the resurrection. Everything, every sorrow that you're feeling right now will be washed away by the joy of Jesus Christ and his eternal life that he wants to give to us. We can't see it now. I know that. We can't see it because we're caught up in the turmoil and the suffering and the pain. And we can't see a way out of it. I get that, and I understand it. I've been through moments like that in my own life. A loss of loved ones, not sure where my own life was going to go, wondering at all the loss I had experienced and not sure how things were going to work out. And guess what? God always comes through, not only in Father Matthew's life, but in your life. I think it's first of all very important when we face the most difficult trials God gives to us, to first acknowledge them, then to begin to accept that just because we're Christian and just because we pray really hard, and certainly I hope we are following God's commandments, following his law, we're going to Mass on Sundays, we're praying the rosary often, we're going to confession, we're doing our best to be people of charity and of kindness and compassion. And even though we're doing all of those things, we still go through difficult times and we still experience great loss. We have to see these in the light of the resurrection. Yes, life and pain is suffering, but there is eternal bliss that no eye has seen, that no ear has heard. It hasn't even dawned upon you and me what that joyful life will be like. And so what we have to do is we acknowledge the pain, we accept it. Eventually we learn to embrace it, and then we realize God shapes us through those trials when we lose somebody that we love so much. We can't even imagine going on, and we feel abandoned by God. We feel as if he's not even there anymore. We realize that not only is he there with us, he's closer to us than ever. And not only has he been there with us through this whole trial, but he will continue with us throughout our whole life. And that pain and suffering that he's allowed us to experience will shape us, if we allow it to depend on God all the more, to trust in him rather than in our own power to control how life unfolds. And to realize, I am thinking of John Paul II, for example, when he also lost his mother at a very young age, and he lost his father too when he was a young man. Can you imagine losing both parents? He lost his mother at a very young age, and so he turned to our Blessed Mother and he said, "You must be my mother now." And it's in part because of that pain and suffering that he went through and that decision to entrust himself so much to the Blessed Mother that he would go on to become one of the greatest saints of our own time. Principally through the pain and suffering that God allowed, he became holy, and he could communicate that holiness to you and to me. What I'm saying is that God, in being in our life, doesn't always fix those painful situations and the wounds that we experience, but he can always bring greater joy out of it.